Genesis Lynn tells the story of the Tower of Babel. Babel is the Hebrew word for Babylon. Babylon became a mighty power, which we've just seen, in all its magnificence. And in the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, besieged Jerusalem. In the reign of King Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon besieged Jerusalem and conquered the city. It was great to see the, that marvellous splendour as a, what a destruction was there. He gave orders to bring before him some of the Israelites from the royal family and the nobility. Young, healthy, handsome, intelligent, well-educated, good prospects for leadership positions in the government. Perfect specimen. Intending to teach them the Babylonian language and the law of magic and fortune telling. Among these were the four young men you know very well. Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah and Mishael, who were then given Babylonian names, Belteshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. We all did this at Sunday school, and it's a great part of the scripture anyway. And I just love the way the message does it. You remember that in captivity Daniel refused to eat the royal diet of lavish food and wine. Wasn't kosher, was it? And asked that he and his friend be given less vegetables to eat. He persuaded a reluctant steward. He wasn't, he wasn't above going around the back way to do things, Daniel. He was very, very smart. And he got on the side, on the good side of this steward, and the steward said, "Oh yeah, but I'm a bit frightened about this. Oh, they'll have my heart if you, don't thrive on this." Anyway, of course, as we remember, the four friends looked better and healthier than all the others because they had been eating the right kind of food. They were also very smart. And when the king interviewed them, he found them far superior to all the other young men. 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his kingdom put together. That's a bit over the top, isn't it? One night, the king had a very disturbing dream and demanded that his fortune tellers tell him the dream and its meaning. Clearly, they simply couldn't. So the king threatened to have all the wise men killed, including the four friends. The four friends prayed about the problem, and Daniel was given a vision. He told the king, "There is a God in heaven who solves mysteries," and proceeded to give the king what he had learned. The vision of the huge statue, head of gold, then silver, then bronze, iron, and the feet a mix of iron and clay, with the stone cut without hands striking the feet. We remember it all well. We drew pictures of it and did all sorts of things, didn't we? The statue was, of course, decimated. "Throughout all this history of the succeeding powers in the world," said Daniel, "God will be making a kingdom that will never be destroyed and will stand strong and eternal." The king was very delighted, and he made Daniel governor of Babylon and gave the three friends important posts throughout the kingdom. This king does seem to be ever so insecure, yes? He next had a gold statue built, 90 feet high and 9 feet thick. Everyone was to bow down and worship the statue when a huge band played music. Disobeying meant condemnation to death in a raging furnace. Naturally, the three friends refused. Daniel as well. They knew, "You shall have no other gods beside me." God would rescue them. But even if he didn't, they still wouldn't worship the statue. Because the Most High rules in the kingdoms of men. So they were cast into the furnace, which was made 7 times hotter, we recall, and a fourth figure mysteriously was seen with them. The king yelled to them to come out because he was quite alarmed, and they emerged not even smelling of smoke. The king seemed to be impressed with their god. The dream of a huge and bountiful tree, which symbolised the king, was the next thing. The tree was chopped down, became useless. The king was chopped down, became useless, eating grass, losing his mind, all this to teach him and the world that God rules in the kingdoms of men. Daniel's interpretation includes advice to make a clean break with the past and start looking after those less fortunate. Falls on deaf ears, of course. A year later, he is admiring his kingdom and palace built all by himself. He hears a voice. Your kingdom is taken from you. You will be driven out of human company and live with the wild animals. You will eat grass like an ox for 7 years. That happened immediately. Apparently this finally worked. We see Nebuchadnezzar singing and praising the God of heaven. Everything he does is right, and he does it the right way. He knows how to turn a proud person into a humble man or woman. Nebuchadnezzar died in time and was succeeded by his son Belshazzar. At a great feast, of which we've just heard mention, the figures of a human hand appeared and began writing something mysterious. Naturally, Belshazzar got very alarmed about this and called for his musicians and fortune tellers. Still stuck with the musicians and fortune tellers. Whoever could tell the meaning would be third in command in the kingdom. Seems the queen heard about the rumpus and mentioned Daniel as one who could certainly tell the king the meaning. So he was summoned. There were three words on the wall which Daniel explained the meaning of. Meaning, God has numbered the days of your rule. They don't add up to much. Tikal, you have been weighed on the scales and you don't weigh much. You fasten. Your kingdom has been divided up and will be handed over to the Medes and Persians. That very night, Belshazzar was murdered. And King Darius the Mede became king at the age of 62. On the advice of his officials, Darius decreed that for 30 days no one would pray to any god except the king. If they did, they would be thrown into the lion's den. Of course, Daniel was found praying and was duly thrown to the lions. We know the outcome of Darius' plot and that Daniel was saved. Why? Because you shall have no other god beside me. Great story. Just one overwhelming message. Our God is alive and well and working in the nations, setting up whomsoever he will. We long for the time when Jesus returns and the worldly powers will know their place. There's a Salvation Army church near my home, which puts a message on its notice board every week. The message this week reads, all you need is faith and trust. And the quote is attributed to Peter Pan. But it's true for all time and has always been so. What did Jesus have to say about this? Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. All we need is faith and trust. Thank you.